Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, friends, and welcome to the mini edit from Edit Your Life. In these snack-sized mini episodes, I answer your questions about everything from self-care to parenting to relationships to home and more. Think of me like that friend you text or call when you need a quick piece of compassionate and candid advice. Send me your questions. Today's mini is inspired by an essay I wrote called Focusing on the Now Instead of the What Ifs. It is a call to do away with false certainty and urgency in parenting. A little bit of context. I am one of seven siblings, all 1 to 2 years apart. So though I was not a kid who dreamed about getting married and having kids, I think at some subconscious level, I always assumed that first, it wouldn't be difficult to have kids when I decided I was ready for it. And second, that they would be born at 2 year gaps. Laurel followed my first assumption. Not long after feeling ready, whatever the heck that means when you're in your 20s and clueless about parenting, I found myself pregnant. And a couple of years later, when I felt ready, again, whatever that means when you have a toddler and are sleep deprived, I found myself on the sad and challenging roller coaster of ovulation tracking, period watching, temperature taking, and feeling like a failure every 4 to 8 weeks when my period landed. As any person who wishes to conceive but can't understands, it is really hard to be in that space. And at some point, after learning that secondary infertility was a thing, I decided to make my peace with having one kid. I felt good, happy, grateful. I donated all of the baby gear I had put in storage for my second child. And then a month later, of course, I found myself unexpectedly pregnant. My kids are 6.5 years apart, a gap that seemed bonkers back then, but also like it had upsides. Though one of the things I did not predict was how fascinating it would be to have kids at different life stages. Laurel is now a sophomore in college, and Violet is in middle school in 7th grade. And parenting the second time around still has some of the same struggles, but affords me a forward window and a longer perspective on which to find comfort and confidence. And so the essay called Focusing on the Now Instead of the What Ifs. This piece really resonated with readers, and it's about letting go of that false certainty and urgency that often colors modern parenting. I hope it speaks to you and helps you trust in the process, not the product. We'll be right back. As you know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, check out Storyworth. Storyworth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, Storyworth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, Storyworth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Funny enough, I was just chatting with a neighbor who told me that her mom gifted copies of her Storyworth album to immediate family members, and literally everyone was crying, in a good, loving way. I loved this example because while yes, Storyworth is a great gift between a parent and kid, in this case, it was a gift from sister to sister that then was shared across generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. Here is the essay I wrote, and please note, I received consent from my daughter Violet to share this story. One thing about modern parenting that exhausts me is false certainty and urgency, as in, my kid must do X because otherwise Y will happen. Yes, sometimes events end up following a prediction, but there is so much out of one's sphere of control, and in 19 years of parenting, I have been reminded countless times that a kid's development and sharpening of their sense of self is about the process, not the product. Exploration, creativity, trial and error, pressing against the edges of one's comfort level in order to stretch and grow, discovery, getting to the other side of frustration, these are the things that matter most and lead to resilient, dynamic human development. The past couple of weekends offered a beautiful reminder of this reality and of how important it is to focus on the now instead of the what-ifs, and a future in which so much could and should, as kids explore their options and interests, change. This past fall, Violet decided to step off the soccer path, an activity she started at age 4. It was not a decision she made lightly, given the friendships made. Her team included a supportive, lovely group of kids, time invested, oh my goodness, so many hours, and successes enjoyed. Her team went to the state championship, a first for the city. I did my best to stay out of the way and be supportive, though I did find myself slipping into the false certainty urgency trap of, oh no, if she steps off the train now, she is done. After a beat, I thought to myself, and so what? It's normal and good for kids to explore different things. New experiences can help you find a passion or realize that you want to return to a former activity. I also reminded myself that I've seen Laurel and so many of her peers be fully immersed in activities in high school, then move on to different pursuits in college, vocational, or work settings, which is, of course, 100% normal. I also reframed the feelings of potential loss. Friendships can persist beyond shared activities. Letting go of this time commitment meant creating space for something new. And successes can come in different forms. After throwing different activity ideas against the wall following our withdrawal from the soccer season, Violet decided to focus her efforts on theater, something she dipped a tentative toe into last spring with an intentional decision to not audition so she could figure out whether she enjoyed it from an ensemble perspective. For the fall-winter season, I was surprised to hear that Violet was thinking of auditioning. Since toddlerhood, she has had shockingly good vocal pitch, but she hasn't been a step into the spotlight kind of kid. She's never been keen on the idea of joining a choral group or taking lessons. She auditioned and earned a role in the fall-winter season production. It's worth noting that by false certainty and urgency standards, she was late to this party as a seventh grader, since many of her peers started early on in elementary school. Over the last few months, she didn't tell us much about the specifics, though over time, choreography practiced behind closed doors slowly evolved to letting us see a sequence or two, to full numbers practiced in full, exuberant view. And then it was showtime. As I said, we didn't have much intel other than Violet suggesting we sit more towards the middle versus the wings, since she was kind of all over the stage. The lights went down. I spent the next 2.5 hours in a state of shock. Violet looked so comfortable and happy on stage, dancing with impressive coordination and rhythm, and delivering her lines with confidence and comic timing. I was so happy to have a second opportunity to see the show, knowing what to expect, not feeling shocked the entire time, so I could soak in the full production. And you know what? Some of her friends from her former soccer team came to the show. Indeed, friendships can persist beyond shared activities. Despite how wonderful this experience was, when Spring Theater signups rolled around, I asked Violet whether she wanted to sign up. I was happy she said yes because she found joy in the experience, and I would have been fine if she said no, knowing that this phase of life is about exploration. That a season is, well, a season, ripe with possibility and potential for change. There is beauty and necessity in pausing to evaluate, in giving kids space to find what lights them up, which sometimes means letting go. I'm here for the process. I hope this was helpful, and if you have a question for me, please drop me a line at edityourlifeshow@gmail.com or DM or comment on a post on Facebook or Instagram at @edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.